Welcome, everybody, to your favorite day of the week. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Adam Mattis. Adam, we are now a week into basically being stuck in our houses. How big an upset is it that Jen hasn't divorced me yet?
It's a huge upset. The biggest upset of the year so far. But like you said, it's only been a week. You would never crown a championship in the NBA season in week one. No, but it has been. For me, this does mark exactly 1 week. Last Wednesday was the last when I first hunkered down here at Casa Del Mattis.
How are you guys holding up? Like, is being around your family everything that you hope for and more?
Well, yeah. Well, yes, first of all. But, you know, it's funny. I've seen some of the memes that say when you discover that your regular way of life is called quarantine. I feel like that one spoke to me.
Today's show, we are going to take you guys through the newest or the latest on this entire situation. Right before we started recording, it was reported by Shams Charania and then eventually the Lakers confirmed it that two players tested positive for the coronavirus. Those Lakers joined Marcus Smart and some people from the Philadelphia 76ers, some people from the Denver Nuggets.
Three members from the 76ers organization, including players,
yeah,
for the release.
The Nuggets also had, I believe, somebody in their organization. So we're going to, you know, kind of talk about that a little bit, the latest there. And then, you know, this is our Friday show where we try to keep things at least relatively light. So in the second segment, we're going to talk about the news that the Big Three is trying to push up its season somehow while everybody else is pushing their seasons back. And we're going to have some fun with how that might look and the most ridiculous version of the Big Three as they're kind of outlining it right now. And then in segment three, we are going to take you through the power rankings if and when the NBA season to resume after a 3 month long hiatus, which teams are best equipped for such a situation. So let's again, though, kind of circle back to today's news. You know, I think what we're finding out now is that, you know, people were probably a little unfair to Rudy Gobert, first and foremost.
I'm going to take away the probably on that.
Yeah.
People were unfair. I mean, yeah, there were certain, we talked about this a little bit before we came on, but, you know, the carelessness, the making light of it, whatever. I think
that's what rubbed me the wrong way.
And I think it should. And those deserve the ridicule, I think, of a lot of people. But I think, you know, the world has changed a lot in the last week, Anthony. And that's what it's almost hard.
It's almost hard
to think back to what 1 week ago was like. And when this first one came out, I think a lot of people thought, oh, it was because of this carelessness that he got this virus. But the odds are, you know, we don't know how he got it. He could have got it from a number of different things. Now, the carelessness, you know, that was silly. And that did, I think, being a public figure, maybe that harmed just people watching him and saying, oh, okay, if he thinks it's silly, then I could think it's silly. That was the crime. That was the harm. But just getting it, I think what we now know for certain, and certainly what all the health officials have said, is that a lot of people are going to get this. In fact, there's a chance that most people in the United States get this. So, you know, 1 week later, and I think people, some of the realization is sort of setting in that this isn't, not only is it not a laughing matter, but it might not even be that special, you know, that unique of a matter now that names are starting to come out and the frequency of high profile people are starting to pop up left and right.
Yeah, I think there was a report that actually really caught my attention at the time, where there were some players that didn't want to get tested because they were, you know, concerned about the stigma that came with potentially testing positive. And
right. Yep.
That at this point, you know, given what we know about the virality of this situation, like that, you know, becomes a ridiculous kind of stance, right? The more people that can get tested, the better, because that's how you diagnose the extent of the situation. And, you know, Gobert, you know, kind of taking the hits that he took. Yeah, that, you know, some of the takes on Gobert in the immediate aftermath on that, given how things have gone since, those are pretty tough to kind of look back on. Some of the takes on that are pretty tough to kind of swallow right now. And I wish we had spent, you know, a portion of percentage of the energy kind of lashing out at the initial wave of those who tested positive at actually getting in, keeping track of this stuff, responding in a more positive way in general to actually addressing this situation, so that, you know, the actual uptick that we've seen recently might not have been so extreme.
Well, I don't know about that, though. In this one way, Anthony, the internet, especially social media, jokes, you know, the old saying, jokes are greater than facts or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, people just like to get their jokes off, and that's a large part with the internet. Right or wrong, I mean, that just is, I don't think that's a thing that's going to change. But, you know, a week ago, I guess 6 days ago, there was a Post Malone concert at Pepsi Center, and it was packed. And this was after, you know, a lot of the reports came out saying people to stay home. So, and people, you know, were ridiculing them. We've seen the spring breakers down in Florida and in Texas and some along the coast that are out there saying, oh, I don't need to worry about it. If I get it, I get it. And, you know, those people are getting ridiculed. And I think, we're past the threshold now. Well, and that was my point, is I think we're past the threshold now where people know. Nobody can claim ignorance on this topic. Like, you should know better. And I think with Gobert, it was maybe he was the first victim of that sort of public shaming for, hey, take this thing seriously.
Yeah.
And he has since, of course, done a lot of things, donated an enormous amount of money to various different groups. Now, I think obviously, paying the penalty for his carelessness, but also I think trying to make up for it in a positive way. And so kudos to him. Mm-hmm. But
he immediately, to his credit, was very apologetic about how moronic he looked in the moments leading up to his positive test.
Sure. Absolutely. One other thing, though, Anthony, news today, the NBA also, and this is big, they tell team practice facilities to close down tomorrow. Yeah. Today was the last day those are open. Before, they had taken these precautionary measures where they said, okay, one person in at each basket at a time with one coach. So no group workouts. Basically, you're working one-on-one with a coach as an attempt to limit it. And they, you know, take your temperature as you walk into the building, all these different things. Well, now they say nobody inside the facility. And not just that. They don't want players working out in public facilities in general.
Yeah.
Really, unless you have a basketball court inside your home, which some players do. I mean, there's a handful of, you know, the top players that will have that. But outside of that, you really can't practice. So whatever we talk about a hiatus for the NBA, if
Iverson
it does come
has been
back,
waiting for this so long.
but in all seriousness, 3 months off. It's not like a regular 3 months, first of all, is like a regular off season. Mm-hmm. You know, players come out of shape and, you know, they're rusty and you have to get into game shape and it takes a long time. Imagine if none of them played basketball in the off season. And that is sort of the scenario we might be faced with, where guys haven't been working out with their trainers, working out at the gyms and facilities. They're just going to be working out at their own houses, which you can do some things. But NBA athletes, these are the best athletes in the world. No way they can expect top performance from them there. And then just not being in the gym and working on your game, that's a pretty huge blow.
Yeah, it turns out those players who do have direct access, either, you know, in their own home or whatever, to a basketball court, who knew that would be a legitimate advantage that people could take advantage of. Like, that could be a serious distancing factor, gap in which teams might be able to compete, is who has access to what over the next 3 months or so. Let's take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to the big three by way of Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports announced that they were going to try to, I believe the words they used was, aid in the lack of live sports or something like that, which is a funny way to phrase it. We're going to discuss the actual announcement itself and then extend this thing, because they had some pretty wild ideas anyway on how they're going to go about this. We're going to extend that to its nth degree and have a little bit of fun with the big three here in a bit. So again, this is from Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports. I'm reading directly. The league itself, to assure the league is operating under safe conditions, players will be quarantined in a large home provided by the league, sources said. A basketball court/facility will be built on site. If a player breaks quarantine at any point during the tournament, he would be eliminated and removed from the premises, sources said. This is all the big three trying to, you know, kind of fill the void that the NBA, or lack thereof, has kind of created. Look, we could get into analyzing whether or not this is responsible, whether I don't believe it is, frankly, but whether this is the right
move. Can I hear why?
Huh?
I want to hear the rationale for why it's not. Because it sounds like it'd be like almost like Big Brother, where these people are quarantined. I'm guessing that the entire production crew, everybody would be quarantined. And so you have, in theory, a contained environment, and then you provide some entertainment. I'm generally curious. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but what is it that is off-putting for you?
I just think, given what we know about this virus right now and how pervasive it is throughout our society, I just don't know if you can 100% be 100% sure in actually quarantining the people in the way that they're describing. And given that we're still in the uptick phase of this, like maybe as soon as we start to see that we're in a bit of a downswing from the number of people who are testing positive for this, then I think fine. If you want to try to slide in a little earlier than the NBA to try to take advantage of it, which, you know, in and of itself, taking advantage of this just feels kind of gross to me. But if that's how you want to go about this, and for a growing league the way that the Big Three is, that's kind of what they're forced to do. Then if you want to be, I don't know if the safety that they're talking about instituting is possible right now. And that's what worries me.
Mm. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. So, like they said, though, and like you said, it's going to be the big, I have it written down as the Big Three Brother House. And some of the ideas, are you ready for some of the ideas that I have for televising the show within the show?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm so ready for this. Producer Anthony, let's hear it.
Well, so all of these teams, I believe it isn't just three-player teams. Like, they have a coach, they have all of these things. So they have players that come off the bench.
I think you have a sub. I think there's an alternate or two, yeah.
Right. So after a loss, one of the teammates gets voted off the team. And they do so in a televised ceremony where the player who gets voted off turns in their jersey. All that good stuff.
Oh, I think immediately too. Like, there's you know, you want the raw emotion of like, yeah, come on, man, you're out of here.
Right. I want all the players from the team to show up with their jersey, and they have to like hang that thing up as soon as in some like grand Survivor-esque ceremony.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Inside the actual house, at least one TV must always be replaying that day's games or the previous day games. So that these guys can either trash talk each other on different teams, or they could yell at each other for how like a certain play went that they thought should have gone elsewhere, but make for the most, I guess, conflict that this could possibly produce. Speaking of conflict. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, who's in this league?
Who's
going to participate in this?
I don't know. I mean, the Haynes wrote, quote, former NBA standouts such as Joe Johnson, Zach Randolph, and Greg Oden could participate in the tournament, but many details need to be worked out. I don't think those guys.
Well, that's the thing. Oden, yeah, might. If you're that caliber of a player, I don't think you want this living inside. First of all, are there going to be cameras inside of this, like real world?
Yes.
So we're going to be on top of a basketball show. It's also a drama. It's also like a reality show drama. yeah, I don't know. If you're an NBA player, man, why on earth would you expose yourself to that? You could only make yourself look bad.
Oh, I forgot. I skipped one of my ideas. Also playing on another TV at all times are controversial games that these former NBA players participated in. So that they can talk trash on how that went
now,
back in the day.
Now, this I'm for. Like, if in addition, so you have the games, but if in addition you also had commentary on, like, big, high-profile moments, yes. I would be all for this, all for it. Get Gilbert Arenas in there. I'm sure he would. Gilbert Arenas, I'm sure, has some things to say.
For the conflict that these situations inevitably create, they said that they're going to have a court on premises, right? You can challenge any player at any time to a one-on-one game to solve these issues. And if you lose a certain number of those one-on-one games, you're gone. You got to leave.
I like it.
It's going to be part of the politics of the house. Let's see. Oh, the mansion must must also provide an official cards table. We know how much that cards table.
This I'm telling you right now, this show that you're setting up would last one day of filming. One day.
I'm here for it. It would be a glorious down. One day. And my final idea here for this all thing, and this is more of a presentation thing, But you know how all these shows have a host, right? Like Ryan Seacrest-ish or Nick Lachey.
I do know how these shows have a host. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, yeah. You have a host.
This show's host? Rasheed Wallace.
Oh, he would be a good host. Yeah. I think he'd be a good host.
Give me that. Either Rasheed Wallace or players KG, only, who would you prefer?
You want players only at the big three. I honestly, man, I don't know, man. You know what's funny, though, is I would watch it. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think we're ever going to see this league. But you know what? It is funny, Anthony. We've been 1 week without sports, and it's weird.
It is.
I mean, we all know those months in the summer where it's pretty dead, but there's still something. I mean, you're still like, okay, some baseball, whatever. The draft is a way, whatever. There's just not right now is the weirdest time, and just that there's truly nothing going on. So the big three, I mean, however you feel about it from an ethical standpoint, tell me you're not going to be watching that, especially if we're talking about 4 or 5 weeks into this, 4 or 5 weeks without any sports. Mm-hmm. You're telling me you're not going to be doing the big three?
Oh, if they implement any of these ideas, I'm can we put this on, like, can we put it on Showtime where cussing is allowed?
Like, of course, you know, it has to be.
give me I don't want this on NBC. I don't want it on ABC. I want this on like HBO 24/7 style. Like, this is what I need. And if honestly, like, I think this is how the big three catches up to the NBA. Like, I think if you add the kind of somewhat seedy reality TV aspect to
lean
all this,
into the XFL, the XFL style of it. I mean, come on, man.
I think this is how it goes. Now, I think that does kind of limit the type of former NBA player that participates in this thing, like long term. I think that becomes a legitimate concern. But if you're like Greg Oden, I think would do this because his career was cut short. And if this offers a way for him to gain back some of the earnings he passed up on because of those injuries, he might do this.
Well, I will say, and the NBA is going to have to really get creative. I really believe this, Anthony. If they're going to salvage their season, even in 3 months from now, I think they're going to have to get real creative. I just cannot imagine arenas full of fans. So if they did get start up again, I think it'd be empty arenas. But even travel, I think, creates a whole nother leg of logistics. So there is a scenario in which, you know, teams end up having to be in one place in one city, and it's just a neutral site arena that every game is played on. I mean, to me, that wouldn't be too surprising. And it might mimic a little bit of this. I don't think it'll be everybody in a house with cameras and everything like that, but it might be teams in one area for 2 months, and you just start the playoffs, end it with the finals. You have a champion. You have the, at least you can move on from the season knowing you didn't have to cut it right down the middle. And maybe that's the best solution to this. I think it's, a week ago, this would have been laughable. Right now, it still kind of is. I think 2 weeks from now, we're going to be thinking of any scenario that allows there to be a champion this year.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, if that kind of a situation, that kind of scenario does play out, which teams are best prepared for it. I don't know, man. I'm almost positive I just created a certified banger of a TV show.
You're going to be rich, Anthony. You got it, man.
One day.
Just get a hold of Ice Cube.
Ice Cube, get at me. I know you're listening. Just never mind me calling it potentially unethical earlier on that segment. let's get to your power rankings. As we've done every week, aside for the one last week where we just didn't feel right to do power rankings given how raw everything was. But now that, you know, we're kind of realizing what, or we redefining what normal is kind of feeling like, we're going to get back to these power rankings. In this series of them, Adam put together a list of teams that would be best equipped, or, you know, might handle a long hiatus best. You were thrilled. I have rarely heard you so excited about a list as you put it together. So let's just go ahead and dive right in. Where are we at?
So
do you want
list,
to do some
me,
honorable mentions?
Though, real quick, it's just if we imagine that the league picks up again in 3 months, and it's not, you know, forget about the formatting, if it's right playoffs, whatever. Let's just assume every team in the NBA has a chance to compete for the championship. Every team, all 30. That's what I'm power ranking.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it. You said it was such a long list that you might have to get into some honorable mentions. Do you have to go there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So I have 19 teams here that I thought were all worth mentioning. So I'm going to start at 19. I'm going to roll through these very quickly.
Okay.
I had the Kings at 19, the Grizzlies at 18. This just shows you how full and healthy the league is. I mean, these were really good teams. These were the Kings and Grizzlies. And then I have Mavericks, Pelicans. But if you say Kings, Grizzlies, Pelicans, those are three teams all that had a great chance of making the playoffs. So the fact that they're so low is kind of wild. So Kings, Grizzlies, Mavericks,
my
Pelicans.
My one counter, the Kings aren't well equipped to handle any league.
The only thing was they were starting to surge, Anthony. They were starting to get good. It was Coach Walton's plan was all coming together. It took a while, but they were peaking.
That's peak Walton. That's just peak as Walton as it gets.
So then this gets a little surprising because then I have the Thunder next and then Portland ahead of them. And here's why. Yusuf Nurkic would be back.
Mm-hmm.
Nurkic would be back. Damian Lillard would be back. You'd be talking about a team. I don't remember what Collins' deal was, but you'd be talking about a team that, when fully healthy, I think Portland was one of the 8 best teams in the Western Conference, maybe even one of the 7 best teams. They just weren't healthy all year. You get healthy, and I think that the Portland is right up there, almost in the top 10. Not quite as high as the Pacers. I think the Pacers are ahead of them. And then listen to this, Anthony. The Rockets, number 12. I have them outside the top 10.
I mean, it kind of makes sense. Right, because the experiment was kind of plateauing, so, you know, can they regain some of that form?
Small sample size, but yeah, I think they had lost like 4 in a row. So the plateaus, I don't know, four games, we know for certain if that was a plateau or not. But here's the thing, here's why I put them so low. Shooting, you talk about a variable. There's so much variance in three-point shooting, but you put these guys out there who haven't been working on their shots because there's no gyms to be working on, and you say, okay, you're going to live by the three, die by the three, but oh, by the way, you guys haven't even shot threes for 3 months.
Yeah.
To me, that makes them very, very susceptible to a rut. And we know they are really good at what they do, but they're not necessarily versatile. So they're outside my top 10.
I don't know if there's an under that I would not feel comfortable betting if and when these games resume. Like, the point totals are going to be hilarious.
All right, one last honorable mention. We have to go quick here because I want to spend some time on the top 10. Yeah. But the Brooklyn Nets. And I know outside. That's wild, but they're out right outside, but they would get Kevin Durant back. I don't think they'd get Kyrie back, but they would get Kevin Durant back. Look, man, they're probably not a top 10 team, but boy, would that be a fun little wrinkle to the playoffs to
Durant
say, like, oh,
against
Brooklyn,
Giannis in round one.
In round one, well, yeah, either Giannis or the Toronto Raptors, the Boston Celtics, and again, playing with house money. Like, oh, KD, you missed a year? You're on a team that's not supposed to win. Yeah, just go out there and have fun.
Yeah.
Take 40 shots. See what happens.
Would he average like 50?
He might.
He's healthy. I do think right before all this went down, there was some kind of wondering whether or not KD could return. There was a report from somebody close to him saying that, like, he would probably not return this year, regardless of how long they're out.
You say that now. What do you say in 3 months?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. So who's actually
top 10
in your list?
Ready for this?
Yeah.
My number 10 team, the last place Golden State Warriors. All the way up to number 10. Because in this case, you actually do have Steph back. We already know he was back.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have Klay back. Great chance that, remember, there was always the question of maybe he'll be back for the playoffs this year or not. You add an extra 3 months onto that, he's back. You get Draymond, you get Steph, you get Klay, you get house money. If the NBA, one of the things the NBA had talked about was, you know, maybe the 8 seed is up for grabs and, you know, the 7 teams that were in the playoffs, those teams get, they're in, those records count, but the 8 seed, it's the tournament style or whatever. Maybe the Warriors win that one and they just throw a huge wrench into the Western Conference playoffs because as much as they're not that great, because I think they still need to fill out the rest of their roster, nobody wants to go up against Draymond, Steph, and Klay when they have nothing to lose.
You know who wants that series badly?
LeBron James.
LeBron wants that in a bad way. Like,
you know what?
I finally get to outgun you guys. Oh hell yes, let's do this.
I'm telling you, though, here's my one thing, and I'm with you. Like, I would put all my money on the Lakers. But the one thing is, we're talking about the wildest curveball. Nobody's practiced or played or done anything for so long. You know, maybe Curry just gets hot. Maybe he shoots 50-60% for a series and it just happens.
I think LeBron is one of the people who does have a court on his on his
yeah, that's true.
Lot, so, all right. So who's number nine?
I got the Miami Heat for no other reason except for they're good. They're just a good team.
All right. I mean, they did make a big trade or whatever. So, you know, I guess everybody would be kind of at the same starting place in terms of working people back in or working people in.
Iguodala would be very well rested. Extremely well rested.
I think we're going to like test the theory as far as like, how is there such thing as too well rested?
I think there probably is. Number eight for me with the Utah Jazz. They probably should. I should move them. I'm going to switch them just right now with the Warriors all the way. Just going to move them all the way back to 10. And here's why. The Jazz have the interesting variable of everybody kind of hates Gobert right now. At least the reports have
no,
been.
No, there's a legitimate rift between.
That's what I mean. And it would be, I think, an uncomfortable locker room. As much as 3 months from now, maybe emotions have tempered. It's still, there's always that underlying, like, do we really forgive this guy? And I just think that's an extra little curveball for them.
They got to hope that the NBA really allows for a decent chunk of games before the playoffs resume.
Right. I just don't see how they can, though.
I mean, no, I
agree. Always said I think it would be like 5 games max, and you're into the playoffs. You got to go. My next team is 76ers. The 76ers would move up a lot if Ben Simmons returned by this time, and he could. But we're talking about a back injury that there's just – if he was back, I think I would move them all the way up to 4 or 5. But without him being back – you know, I just don't know. There was, of course, Joel Embiid had some injury concerns. But one thing about Embiid is he's never stayed in great shape for long. So when we talk about who would fall out of shape over this hiatus, he's at least a guy that history tells us is likely, or at least more likely than most, to fall out of shape.
There was a fun story earlier this week about how he asked his agent to do his work and try to get Embiid to L.A., if he could fall that far in the draft back when he was drafted. And I guess he had gone out to eat with some executives from Cleveland and put away like 3 chocolate cakes.
The old Charles Barkley, huh?
So, yeah, that's the guy I think is definitely staying in shape over the next
that's
3
hilarious.
Months. All right, who's next on your list?
Well, a similar boat, the Denver Nuggets, and this is a team that you talk about Jokic, who, by the way, Anthony, was in the best shape of his career right before this.
Mm-hmm.
But do I have confidence that he'll be in the best shape of his career 3 months from now? Unfortunately, I do not. So he becomes another really big variable. The one thing I'll say, the Nuggets, like the Celtics, one of the youngest teams in the NBA, and, you know, who knows, 3 months from now, Maybe that makes a little bit of a difference. These guys just a little physically more mature. But I'll also say this. I do feel bad for the young players because I believe, and I've talked about this before, players between like, you know, 16 and 22, 23, those are your best years for development. That's where your curve's the steepest. And if you told somebody, imagine telling LeBron James at the height of his, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old when he's really developing, say, hey, you can't play basketball for 3 months. That's kind of a killer. That's a killer for young players.
Yeah, I wonder if we are going to see some long-term ripple effects in, like, this generation of 19 to 21-year-old players.
Only if this thing extended for, like, a year. But if it's only, quote-unquote, only 2 or 3 months, I don't see it. But, you know,
that's the longest time most of these people have spent away from the sport.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Also, like, do you think there's anybody more upset at this break than Jokic's horses?
Like, because he can't go back.
We had good point.
He can't go back to Serbia.
Oh, good point. Never mind.
You bite your tongue. His horses love him. All right, top 5. The Toronto Raptors. Toronto Raptors. Again, they're good. They're just good.
They are good.
They're good. It's funny you think about how does each organization handle this. Just from like communication. I mean, there's protocols every team has to do. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto was handling this better than everybody else. Just in terms of, you know, communication with their players, being on the same page, staying unified. I think Raptors, I think they'd be good.
They're probably the most underrated organization in the league right now, right?
Well, they might be the best. So, yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because really nobody would think of them that way.
Their synergy between their G League and their team is great. Their fan base and how they've cultivated it is great. Obviously, their general manager.
Nurse.
Their talent development. I mean, look at how many players. Terrence Davis this year became an actual high-level role player. Picked from obscurity. So they do a great job of developing guys. I wouldn't be surprised if they handled this as well as anybody.
Yep. All right. Who do you got next?
The Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics. They were surging. They too, like, you know what? They were on a run. They were getting good. There are a bunch of young players that, again, I think you can expect to be, you know, only get better with time. I just think the Boston Celtics would be a top four team.
Yeah, I do kind of wonder. Tatum was playing so well.
Like the, but maybe this... it's because, again, he's 21 years old. Maybe it's because, or 21, 22. Maybe it's just because you get better as you get older at that point in time.
Well, I just mean like of players in the NBA who did not want to see a lengthy hiatus, Tatum was probably up there in terms of like the players who least want to see that, just given how well he was playing for really the first time in his career.
The funny thing about you, Anthony, is I can't ever tell when you're being serious or when you're joking. Does the first time he played well in his career? Okay, we're moving
that
on.
That well?
Number
that,
three. This is a surprise. This is a surprise.
He
number
had never
three.
Been there before.
Well, that was the best. Yes, that was the best he had played.
Yeah.
But like I'm saying is you would expect somebody his age to be playing the best they've ever played. Then when he comes back, that would be the best. And then next year would be the best. I mean, he's on at an age when you would always expect them to get better. But I want to move on. Number three, the Milwaukee Bucks. This might surprise you. Number three. And here's why. I think the Bucks are fantastic. They had an enormous amount of momentum. I think this hiatus really hurts them as much as anybody. Mm-hmm. When you're a hot team, especially a small market, you know, underdog team like they are, I think that momentum really matters. In 3 months, they can only get worse, Anthony. They can't get better.
Right.
They were already on pace for 70 wins.
And now they have that loss to the Lakers just kind of stuck in the back of their head. Are we really that
good?
They
have to sit on it. Think about how many games they won this year, and they have to sit on that.
Yeah, take that L right before the break.
Your team loses on a Friday, and they don't play again until Monday or Tuesday. And you're like, oh, my gosh, 3 days we have to sit on this loss? 3 months for them.
Yeah, right, right. And also another team that relies really heavily on shooting. So
yeah, that's a good point. Great point.
Who's number two here?
Number two, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Huh.
The Los Angeles Lakers, number two. Now, they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and there's only so much damage you can do. Those two guys also almost certainly have basketball courts inside their home, so those guys, I think, can stay in fantastic tip-top
shape. On the Space Jam lot.
On the Space Jam, maybe Space Jam, maybe on hold. Those guys, they're just – the Lakers, I think, going into this break were the number one team. I mean, we saw the wins over the Clippers and Bucks. And, as you know, if you said Bucks, I wouldn't mind. But to me, it was probably the Lakers. But this hiatus to me – I've watched LeBron teams a lot, his whole career, in fact. And I just know there's certain rhythms to how they were going. And I thought that rhythm to that team was just so perfect, starting to come together, starting to peak. Now you take 3 months off, and their best player, who, by the way, is my age – 35 years old, and now he has to take off this entire 3 months and then be back at the top there. Every day that goes by, the clock is ticking on LeBron James. And so 3 months, that hurts.
Again, though, I believe, I don't know if he still does this, but every new city he's gone to, he's replicated the workout environment from that team facility in his house.
But Anthony, we know that, look, and you have to admit it, he's every day that goes by, he becomes more susceptible or more likely to be over the hill or whatever. And you put a 3 month break in that, to me, I don't care how good of a setup he has at his house, that throws off a rhythm. By the way, this guy had 17 years of the same rhythm.
But I guess like that's rhythm. I guess that's what I mean, that's a good point that his rhythm is this thrown off. But I will also say, though, like if there's a player I trust to stay in shape during this time, it's probably LeBron.
Again, I they're number two. You're upset because they're number two, but the player with the most mileage on his body has to take this abrupt 3 month break and then go right into top form basketball. Like the top, it's time for you to go. To me, the older you are, the tougher that is. And unfortunately for LeBron, he is that's just where he is. This one really hurts LeBron.
It's also been fun to watch Danny Green, now that basketball is out of his way, just focus on podcasting.
I haven't heard any of them. Have they been good?
It's like a daily thing. He's on this show.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Number one, the LA Clippers. And here's the thing. Already I thought they were starting to come together and look very, very good with Kawhi and Paul George. But the story with them has been injuries. It's just they need rest. I mean, they've rested the whole season, basically.
Yeah.
They need time off. They just got handed 3 months off, where they don't have to put that stress on their bodies. If they came back, to me, they just have the talent. And in particular, not just the talent, but they're the talent. They have the guys that can guard LeBron James and cause him trouble. So to me, you give a team that was banged up and needed rest, 3 months rest, and then ask them to go into it. The Clippers, and they knew this about themselves, they were designed for the playoff season, not the regular season. And now so that's all you have.
Chunk out of the regular
just
season.
Cut out the regular season and go to the playoffs. Like, oh, perfect. That's what we wanted anyway.
Yeah. I think all great points. I do worry a little bit about the team chemistry there. Right? Like you got 3 months of these guys not talking to each other. If I were the Lakers, if I was a Laker with access to a Clippers phone number, I would just send the occasional text to Montrezl Harrell, like, hey, remember how Kawhi was taking like every fourth or fifth night off? And now he gets this long break anyway.
If you were playing for the Lakers, you'd be sending him a text like, hey, man, meet me at this very packed club. I'll be there. And then they arrive. Sorry, couldn't make it, man. Hope you're doing well.
I do got to say the funniest moment of this this last week or so was somebody asked Dudley, like, how long does it take to get back in basketball shape? And he was like, at least a good month. And I'm thinking, and that's Jared Dadbot Dudley. that made me crack up at home.
Yeah. Hey, the Clippers, you're champs. If the league doesn't resume, I think you should just give it to him, Anthony.
See, now you're just trying to be hurtful. All right. It was fun. It was fun to get back to having a little bit of fun on this show. And this is kind of how we're going to approach this entire break. We're just going to try to keep things as light as we possibly can and get you guys through at least the weekend leading up to whatever news is waiting for you on the other side of it. Please continue to be safe out there. Keep your family close to you. Be smart. Be hygienic. All that stuff. As we're learning, social distancing is a real legitimate factor that is going to be a tool that we use in all this. So please just be smart in taking part in that. Have a great rest of your weekend. And Adam and I will be here to talk to you guys next week.